2 Chronicles 24:1 through 27. Devotional focus verse. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. 2 Chronicles 24:8 through 10. In the early days of this organization, God made it clear to our founder, Florence Crawford, that he would provide what was needed for the financial support of the work of the Lord. Experience had taught her that faith, when combined with obedience to the will of God, always brings results. Shortly after her move to Portland, she stepped out in faith with only 10 cents in hand and published the first apostolic faith paper issued from this city. In accordance with her belief that God would provide for the work as it expanded, Sister Crawford let it be known from the outset that no collections would be taken during church services. When she was asked who is going to be responsible for the upkeep of this place if no collections are taken, she firmly responded, "I will be responsible." She knew she could trust God to provide and God's people to give freely. She had a small box put near the entry of the church where the tithe and freewill offerings could be placed. From that day to this, collections have never been taken in Apostolic Faith Church services. The money freely given through tithes and offerings has met every need. Today's text records how a financial need was met in a similar manner during the days of King Joash of Judah. Early in his reign, King Joash set his heart upon restoring the temple. It is likely that he had been taught by his uncle, the priest Jehoiada, to revere the house of God, and he clearly was troubled that it had fallen into disrepair during the evil reign of his grandmother, Athaliah. At the direction of King Joash, the priests gave the people the opportunity to contribute. The collection box with a hole in the top was built to receive the money, and it was placed outside the gate of the house of the Lord. And the people did give. They gave willingly and abundantly. Our focus verse records, "And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end." The chest was soon filled, and the collected money was carried to the king. And this did not happen just once. Verse 11 states, "Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance." Then the funds were distributed to the workmen repairing the temple, and when the work was completed, there was even money left over to make vessels for the house of the Lord. Giving is clearly a part of God's plan for his followers, and that applies to us. Our tithes and offerings should be given with pure motives, an attitude of worship to God, and a desire to see the work of the Lord prosper. We should recognize that God does not need our money. After all, according to Psalm 50, verse 10, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. However, he allows us to have a part in the growth of his kingdom by offering back to him what he has given us. There is a great blessing to us when we give freely and regularly to the work of the Lord. The people of Joash's day rejoiced when they gave. Blessings still accrue to those who follow God's word in giving generously and wholeheartedly to him. Background information. Chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles provides a summary of the 40-year reign of King Joash. In the parallel account in 2 Kings 12, the variant spelling Jehoash is used. Verses 1 through 14 of this chapter describe the repair of the temple and the spiritual reformation that took place in Judah early in Joash's rule. However, after the death of the godly priest Jehoiada, Joash was influenced by the princes of Judah to turn to idolatry. See verses 15 through 19. When God pronounced judgment through Jehoiada's son Zechariah, the leaders and the people conspired to murder the prophet. See verses 20 through 22. As a result of this wicked deed, God sent judgment on Judah through a Syrian invasion, and Joash was assassinated by his servants. See verses 23 through 27. After leading the effort to establish Joash upon the throne of Judah when he was just 7 years of age, Jehoiada continued to be a powerful influence for good in the kingdom of Judah for the remainder of his life. He was the uncle of Joash through his marriage to Jehoshabeath and the fact that he arranged marriages for the young king, see verse 3, implies that he served as Joash's legal guardian. Early in Joash's reign, and likely because of the influence of Jehoiada, the king was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Verse 4. Joash commanded the Levites in Judah's cities to collect money annually and bring it back for the project in Jerusalem. He instructed that this task be accomplished speedily, but the Levites failed to follow that instruction. According to 2 Kings 12:6, the restoration project did not begin until the 23rd year of Joash's reign. The reference to the sons of Athaliah in verse 7 indicates that the temple's disrepair was not the result of normal wear and usage. Seemingly, Athaliah and her sons had instigated a deliberate campaign against the temple and the worship of the true God. Verses 8 through 10 describe how the collection for the temple repair was accomplished. A chest was placed at the gate of the house of the Lord where people could place their donations. The reference to the collection taken by Moses, see verses 6 and 9, was an allusion to the offerings made to build the tabernacle in Exodus 35. Further details regarding the chest of Joash's day are given in 2 Kings 12, 9 through 15. Mention is made in verses 15 through 16 of the death of Jehoiada at 130 years of age. He was awarded the honor of burial in the royal tombs because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his, that is, God's house. The statement in verse 17 that the princes of Judah made obeisance to the king implies that these leaders of Israel came in a fawning and flattering manner. Due to their influence, Joash and the people left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and turned to idolatry. Though God sent his prophets to warn that the nation was headed for destruction, they would not give ear. See verse 19. It is possible that the prophet Joel was one of these prophets. The statement in verse 20 that Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, stood above the people probably indicates that he was the priest who pronounced the benediction over the assembly of Israel. However, his warning was also rejected, and Zechariah was ultimately stoned at the command of the king. Ironically, the stoning took place in the court of the house of the Lord, the very place where Joash, Jehoiada, and the people had pledged by covenant to live according to the law of God. See 2 Chronicles 23:11 and 16. The judgment that fell upon Judah for these evil actions is described in verses 23 through 27. A small army of Syrians overcame the much greater army of Judah. The princes who had been an ungodly influence upon Joash were destroyed and their possessions were plundered, and a wounded Joash was killed by his own servants. Although Joash was buried in Jerusalem, he was not awarded a place in the royal cemetery. The chapter concludes in verse 27 with the statement that Joash's son, Amaziah, succeeded him on the throne of Judah. Conclusion. God's plan for financing his work on this earth is clearly spelled out in Scripture. It is to be done through tithes and freewill offerings. When we participate in that plan, we are blessed.